October 3rd, 2018 Pony Sync Call. Let's take a look at any recent activity we have on RFCs. I know there was an RFC we discussed a little bit last week was ticket 129 in the RFC's repo. There was a little bit of discussion during in which Sylvan suggested an alternative way of solving the problem presented in the RFC. I think, let's see, Sean was uneasy about Sylvan's alternative and was more more aligned with the RFC's proposal. Matthias mentioned that he has maybe mixed feelings after having slept on it, as far as Sylvan's proposal goes, and thinks maybe a few more restrictions might be in order. And Epic Eric also chimed in, saying that he's in favor of the RFC as written rather than the alternative proposed by Sylvan. Gordon said he's not in favor of the RFC as written. And to be frank, neither really am I. I'm not sure if we want to have any discussion on this RFC during this call or just leave it to discuss, continue discussing on GitHub. Do you have anything you want to talk about while we're here? Okay, well, if that's the case, let's jump into looking at pull requests for the Pony C repo. I was just looking at, before this call, I was just looking at Dippin's pull request, 2890 for performance improvements and bug fix to the buffered package. Let's see. I think it looks really good overall. I kind of had one quibble that's still outstanding about the use of the private element size method, and that seems to no longer be necessary based on the latest version of how this works. 4 days ago, Dippin asked me whether I'd prefer to get rid of it or not, and just about 37 minutes ago, I said, yeah, I'd prefer to get rid of it before we merge. But other than that, I'm good with continuing on. Does anybody else have concerns about this? It does add some new methods to the array class. Some new public methods that are only usable if it's on an array of U8. And that's enforced through a type parameter on the method. I'm pretty sure the type parameter is a sound way of preventing any other usage. I was trying to think if there's any way that you could circumvent that and get some pointer unsafety by hacking the type arguments to be something clever. But I couldn't think of a way to circumvent the restriction there, so I think that's good. But I guess maybe some people might have some philosophical opposition to having, these public methods exposed that are only really usable on one type of array. I think it's probably the best way to solve this. I guess it's worth mentioning that there's an outstanding RFC, or rather the RFC has already been merged, but it has not been implemented yet because it's a rather complex implementation, to add method specialization so that you could have an implementation of a method that would be only applicable given some type parameter constraint. So it just it would be maybe a more explicit, more elegant way of doing this, but I think the way Dippin's done it works, at least as far as I can tell. Yeah, that's my thoughts on it. Does anybody have any thoughts they want to share about 2890 other than my one little outstanding thing before we merge? Let's see. It also adds byte width methods on integer types, which seems totally principle of least surprise to me. Okay, well, if nobody has anything they want to raise about it, we can move on, and that'll be ready to merge soon, I'm sure.
I'll update it to remove the byte stuff later today.
Great, cool, thanks. All right, so let's see. A new pull request 6 hours ago by Theo, 2893. I believe Theo's on the call with us today. This looks like it's resolving. Okay, it's resolving issue 2876, which has kind of a makefile issue with how make install works on this reporter's distro. And it's not installed in Softlink locally generated. Okay. Yeah. So I think this looks good to me. Anybody really want to say before I merge it? All right. Oh, I need to add the fixed label on there. Okay, that one's been merged back to other pull requests. We've got 2892 by Gordon. Correctly handle modifier keys for TTY standard in on Windows. Let's see. Matthias asked about maybe adding another test suite to cover stuff like this. Gordon says it wouldn't cover this specific one, and it also sounds like too much work for now. So right now, yeah, this is kind of a fix without a test, but seems like we don't have a practical way to test it. Is that correct, Gordon?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if it's not practical, I think that's fine. Okay, I'll merge it. Okay. 2888. This was something that we discussed a little bit on the previous sync call, in which there is a somewhat pedantic but relevant distinction between the modulo operation and the remainder operation. Even though they're often used as synonyms, there is a difference in the sign of the result. And as discussed in the previous sync call, we want to basically fix the naming here to be correct in one step, like as kind of a bug fix. And then the modulo operator with different sign of the result would be added in RFC later. So this, if anybody is using, if they're like defining their own mod method for like probably like a DSL or syntax sugar, this could break their code. But it's kind of better to break it now than later, I think, in the same step as we add the new operator with different semantics and the same name as the old operator here. So I think that I would like to go ahead and merge this now, assuming that let's see, is there a corresponding tutorial fix as well? Let's take a look. I don't see one. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and respond in this thread, asking for Matthias to have a tutorial PR that's ready to merge at the same time as this one. Anybody else have any other comments about this before we move on? Okay. Looking at other pull requests. Let's see here. There are a few other outstanding ones by Dippin. Let's see.
2889, I think, is ready to be merged, assuming there's no issues.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I already approved of this one, and Epic Eric had a sort of concern about it, and I think my comment mitigated that. So, yeah, the concern was having ISO in the name of a method was not ideal, and I agree with that, but this is kind of already following an existing precedent that's there. So with that in mind, I'm going to... Let's see. Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. All right. Merge it. And let's see. 2830 still has the do not merge label on it. Because there's a CI build error. Okay. Dipping says he'll investigate more before continuing on that. Let's see, 2818 is marked needs discussion during sync. I think we're specifically waiting for Sean's input on this. Andy, did you have any thoughts about what is remaining for Sean's input, or are you... we should just wait for him to review asynchronous stuff.
We should wait for him to review it. I haven't talked to him about this.
Okay. All right. I will. I think I'm going to remove the. So, is it correct, Andy, that you're kind of going to be in Sean's place for most of these calls going forward?
Yeah, that is the plan. But I'm kind okay. of ramped back up on this.
Okay, so I think I'll remove the needs discussion during sync call, because if it needs review from Sean, that's just kind of a different thing now.
I mean, he may still be in things if he's needed. So that's not to say that he won't be around, only to say that he will only be around if needed.
Right, yeah, and I think we don't necessarily need to have a synchronous discussion about it. I think we can just review it async. So I'll take off the needs discussion during sync label on that. 2748, I believe the last I knew about this, Gordon, did you want to make sure that it wasn't going to conflict with Windows, or are you already pretty satisfied about that?
Yeah, I think I'm happy to merge it.
Okay. So there is a failing test. I'm just going to respond here, and I'll probably hit the restart on that. I'm going to add a comment here that says...
There's also a makefile conflict that he's going to have to resolve.
Okay. I'm adding a comment that says that. Okay. Exciting. I'm going to remove the do not merge label as well. Because as soon as it's passing the normal checks, it can be merged. Oh yeah, and I'll also give it an approve just to be icing on the cake there. All right. Moving on. Fixed type system logic for detecting if a type param can match itself. That is a pull request by me. Needs discussion during sync 2737. To be honest, I don't remember what the discussion that is needed was. This was kind of waiting on feedback from Benoit, I guess. But let me take a look here. So this is also just not ready to merge. So this is a good thing to talk about maybe with Theo. I believe Theo's here. Yeah. So basically what this pull request is about is I found a type system bug that lets you do unsafe things. And when I tried to fix it, I am still waiting for a callback from Benoit on how it relates to another issue that he had looked at, but my current implement. So when I fixed this, it broke a few methods on iter tools, including filter stateful. And I believe that. Am I recalling wrong that Theo was the author of most of these?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure what the best next step on this would be, because I'm not certain that it, I think we discussed this a little bit in chat, but I'm not certain that it's possible to implement these with the way that our iterators currently work.
Yeah, I had a brief discussion with this with Sylvan a few months ago when it came up, and I think the outcome of that discussion was effectively, yeah, this should be possible, but I don't think it currently is, at least for some of the cases. So I think the immediate thing to do would be to make some of the iter tools methods a bit weaker in terms of what types they can work over and fix it that way.
Okay. Yeah, which might break applications. Okay. All right. Would you mind adding a comment to that effect on the thread?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. $26.75. I'm trying to think if we have a good group to discuss that. I'll bring it up here and see what people think. I kind of don't want to make a decision without involving more people on it, but if basically the outstanding question on $26.75 is whether this is a change that would count as, so this is a breaking change for the language, and the, like, my outstanding question on it is whether this is something we should go through the pull request process as a principle of least surprise bug, which I kind of consider it to be, versus something that needs to go through the RFC process, and basically our general policy on that is if everyone's kind of a consensus that it's a principle of least surprise thing without significant opposition to that consensus, then we just go through with it. But if there are people who have significant concerns about it going through without RFC, then we can divert to the RFC process. And so I guess we can at least raise it to this group and see, does anybody in this group have some concerns about it being merged without RFC? And so the nature of the change is that types named, so prior to this change, any type named in a type constraint gets an implicit capability of, if no explicit capability is named. The exception to this rule is primitives, which still use an implicit cap of val in a type constraint. Though I added in parentheses, though I'm not sure why you'd ever use a primitive as a type constraint to begin with. And there's probably some cases for it. But anyway, in both cases, the default cap declared by the user in the type declaration was being ignored. And this is the only context where that happens, which I think violates the principle of least surprise. And I also don't think it's documented anywhere. So it's always, I don't know, it's always kind of continuously surprising to me as I do it. The unfortunate side effect of this, I think using any hash any as a type parameter constraint is rarely what you actually want, because if you don't constrain the capability at all, it doesn't let you do very much with the type constrained parameter. So it doesn't really make sense as an implicit default. Even if we did want to have an implicit default, like, that's not necessarily a very good one. There in the standard library, there's no places that rely on having a final cap of hash any, but there are cases, this is kind of the side effect, there are cases where you have type intersection, like you see in the pull request, in which the final intersected type, has a specific capability, but only one or some of the types in the intersection are given a specific capability, and the other ones just get implicitly limited to that. So where this kind of causes a breaking change in real world code is where if you have a type that's constrained on B val and C val as a type intersection, but you are relying on just saying B val and C and relying on the val carrying over to the entire intersection. Now you're in a position where you'll get errors if you're relying on that implicit behavior. It's something that could potentially be fixed, but I'm not sure it would be a good idea because it's kind of strange to do. Maybe it's not. People have thoughts about this they want to share, thoughts that might entail wanting to go through the RFC process. With that in mind, I'll leave a comment saying that we discussed it today on Sync. And I'm going to go ahead and remove the tag for needs discussion during sync. And I'll have to make a note to myself to come back and clean up these family tests and figure out what's going on with those. Okay. $26.60 I think we should wait on. So we're nearing the top of the hour. Do people have specific topics they'd like to discuss, or specific, you know, issues or pull requests, or any other kind of topic for the call? All right. Well, with that in mind, we will continue looking at a few other needs discussion during sync. Okay, so we have, you know, the only other needs discussion during sync pull requests are ones that are marked as stale. Let's see, 1323 had some activity. I'm seeing a little blue icon there. So Matthias was asking about how call arguments get handled. Okay, so there are kind of some outstanding concerns about from Matthias about how to, like, the scope of the RFC and how much should be expected to be correct. I'll just leave that to play out in GitHub. Okay, so moving on to issue tickets. 2875 is marked needs discussion during sync. On Arch Linux, one of our compiler tests is failing with an LLVM fatal error. Fun. Program used external function global offset table, which could not be resolved. So yeah, this is a JIT related test, which I'm not, yeah, the JIT tests are something that I'm not super familiar with. Just gonna try it.
We should probably ping Benoit.
Yeah. I think, let's see, did Matthias already ping him? Yeah, pinged him 27 days ago. Well, I'll leave another comment saying, do you have any thoughts on this one? Okay. I do notice that there are maybe some other I just noticed there's an LLVM bug. Oh, 2013. Interesting. 2013 December, somebody got a similar bug. I guess I'll just link to that in the comments so as to not bog down this call. All right. Continuing to look. I'm going to go ahead and actually mark that. I'm going to remove the needs discussion during sync. Label on that. I'm not sure that's when it's pending a specific person who may or may not actually be at sync. I think it's maybe not an appropriate label anymore. Let's see. 2873 is when we can discuss, I think. Yeah, asking about issue and pull request templates for Pony. This contributor says they added templates to Wallaroo last week and realized Pony doesn't have them either. Make it easier for contributors to make sure their issue or PRs deals detailed enough to avoid back and forth that may normally take place. So the contributor is going to put together something. They said tonight, but that was 29 days ago. So I will just add a comment saying I'll ask if they're still interested in pursuing this. Does anybody have any sort of thoughts that are kind of opposed to the idea of having these templates? Or is everybody generally in favor of doing so?
So we're using them at Wallaroo right now. They're a little bit of a mixed bag because we have run into situations where they don't fit and then you find yourself kind of deleting a lot of cruft before you get started. Or people who don't know submit an issue that doesn't fit into the template, but they try to wrestle it into fitting. So we're still experimenting with it. If you want to wait and see what our results are a little later, we can give you that. Yeah, that's kind of my thoughts.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've kind of had mixed experiences with them as well. Usually, I think you kind of described it pretty well. I mean, it kind of makes sense that there may be multiple different kinds of issues with different needs for how you would report them, and having a single template to have them fit all into maybe is not ideal.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what the right thing is. It would be nice if maybe we had some guidelines for people, but I don't know if those should appear as like a template that shows up when they start filling in an issue.
Okay. I'm gonna and kind of, I guess, wait for more thoughts to come out of Wallaroo on that topic. Let's see here. 2858, I-64, min value over -1, returns unexpected results. Yeah, this is still kind of outstanding. So it's undefined behavior in LLVM. Paul mentions that Rust panics in this case, which is interesting. That's really interesting, actually. See if it still panics in the latest nightly. Yeah, there's a panic there. Okay, so that's interesting. Does anybody have any thoughts to add on this topic? I'm not sure. Not sure what the path forward on this is. Okay.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't really have any good thoughts on it.
Yeah, I'll leave it undiscussed for now. 2828 also has needs discussion during sync marked on it. Confusing error message when method only includes variable declaration. Yeah, okay, so it's treating. Yeah, that is kind of a weird case. So we have, it's a variable, it's a method that returns something in which the only statement in that method body is a declaration of that thing, the variable that defines the thing that to be returned, and the author forgot to return that local at the end of the method body. So the compiler thinks that you're trying to use the previous value of the thing that didn't exist until now, that identifier. So it says that the left side is undefined, but its value is used. It must be something that can be assigned to. So, yeah, so the left side is undefined, but its value is used. So what's the best way to present this message? The person who reported this says, furthermore, changing the return type of the method to none results in a successful build without any error output mentioning unused variables. I remember receiving errors regarding unused declarations previously, and I'm unsure if there's still a compilation error. So maybe somebody else can correct me, but to my knowledge slash recollection, Pony has never given errors for unused variable declarations. Is that true?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, not that I can recall.
Okay. Do we feel okay about that? I kind of do, because I think that, I don't know, I kind of feel like that's more of the domain of like a separate like linting tool, which obviously doesn't exist and should exist before that answer is useful. But you know, to me, it feels like it's the kind of thing that really bugs you when you're trying to troubleshoot something and you're like commenting some stuff out so you can compile your program, and then you're going to put it back in later. And if you have like unused variable errors preventing you from compiling when you're just trying to, you know, comment some stuff out temporarily, it can be a big hassle. That's kind of my experience with it. I don't know if other people are more leaning towards saying, yeah, it should be an error.
Go makes it an error, and it bugs me to no end for exactly the reasons you've described. If other people wanted, I'd be willing to hear them out, but I don't really care for it.
Based on my experiences with Go, I would also agree.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so for now, I think you should be able to have an unused variable.
Yeah, it'd be nice if that linting tool existed that you could like use it to, because you know it is nice to have that error when you're compiling like a release, right? Well, yeah. I guess we could consider, you know, if you're compiling a release rather than a debug build, is that the kind of thing where we'd want to add additional errors for release builds?
I don't think that we should necessarily do that either, because I've had situations where a bug only occurs in a release build, and then I really need to get to the bottom of it, and so that just moves that problem to the release build.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing, yeah, like, I guess it should be relegated to a lint tool.
A lint tool or some, I mean, if we wanted to just do warnings or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the right thing to do necessarily is. I think that making unused variable declarations illegal at the compiler level is the wrong way to do it. So,
it's yeah.
Stupid question, maybe, but I mean, is there a just looking at this, is there a reason that that assignment expression couldn't return a string? Or you couldn't evaluate to a string?
Sorry, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so I haven't really dug into this, but at some level, we tell people sort of that everything in Pony is an expression, which means that it would evaluate to something. So var s equals a string. Is that an expression? And if so, does it evaluate to none? And therefore, are we effectively trying to return none here? And if that's the case, should it, what would happen if that returned a string or evaluated as a string? Does that question make sense?
Almost.
I'm not saying it's not a bad idea. Do you, at a surface level, do you understand the question that I'm asking?
I guess? No, on the surface level, I don't quite, sorry. So are you suggesting that, so in this thought experiment, are you suggesting that that this expression var s equals a string, are you suggesting that that expression should return none, or that it should return the string called a string?
Well, I guess I could kind of go either way. Right now, at some level, I guess I don't even know what happens if we were to say var a equals var s equals a string. Well, I guess that wouldn't actually work. But what is the type of this expression? Is this really technically an expression?
Yeah. Yeah, yes. I mean, it's a good question. Okay, so I think that right now, so this is an expression whose type is undefined, and so it can't be used in anything, right?
Right. Yeah. So I mean, if this sort of if a variable assignment expression had a type, then that might at least lead it to, if nothing else, that might sidestep this whole problem. Part of this whole problem.
So, yeah.
Type error.
So if we think about what the compiler output would be for this program, in each of those two cases, if the resulting expression type was none, then you would see a message saying something like, "None is not a subtype of string," You would see something like that, and then I'm not sure that's any more clear than what's presented here.
I mean, I think it's a little more clear. I feel like what's presented here is just confusing. Like, it's not entirely clear to me why it's complaining about this problem. Because really, it's telling you that there's a problem that doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing here that you can actually, like, I think it's very difficult to piece together what's happening here. At least if you got a thing that said, oh, you're returning the wrong type, you could look at it and say, oh, I didn't do anything with this variable, and this variable is the wrong thing. I mean, you'd still have to look at the code to kind of figure out exactly what was going on, but I think it would be I think the path out would be a lot clearer, whereas otherwise I feel like people fixate on, like, you know, what the hell, what do you mean left side is undefined but its value is used?
Yeah. I mean, so let's, either way, in either case, you know, in the case where it returns none and you have to figure out why none is not, why it's trying to use the type none, because none's not mentioned anywhere there. So I feel like that could be equally confusing. But what if instead of that, and when we say the left side is undefined but its value is used, we just add a little note that says, remember that assignments return the previous value of the left side, but in a declaration, you know, the left side has no value. I mean, I think that's something we could pretty easily detect in this case and print a more, like, helpful addendum on top of this message.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
As far as
message there.
The other thought experiment of returning the right side, I would probably be opposed to that, because I think that it sends conflicting messages about, like, what the result of an assignment operator is.
I think I'd agree with you on that. So, okay, I'll take that.
It's like, for example, in this if you expanded this to have another line where you say, you know, var s equals foo as a string, and then you have var s equals bar as a string, the second line, instead of saying var s, you just say s, because it's a variable that already exists within the scope. What's interesting about that is that that would succeed in this case, and it would return foo rather than bar.
Yeah. No, I think you've convinced me that what it's doing right now is actually right but confusing.
Yeah.
And so the solution is probably a better error message, since it's not doing anything wrong. And a first stab at that error message might be a hint that some sort of hint about why this might not be the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting about the case I just described, where you say var s equals foo and then s equals bar, the fact that it returns foo is something that this, the person who filed this issue ticket would also be surprised about.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess I could see an exception being made for the first assignment to a variable, like the creation of a variable, as returning the thing on the right-hand side rather than returning the previous version of the variable, since there was no variable. But that starts to feel like some sort of weird special case.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is that even if I solve this specific case by making the error message more helpful, or yeah. if I solved it by special casing what happens when you're first declaring, like when you have var s equals foo, is treated differently from s equals bar. The s equals bar case would still be confusing to this user, and the only thing that's going to alleviate their confusion on that level is some kind of linting that tells them that they've got a variable that that they assigned to and they never used again.
Yeah, somebody ran into this somewhere else, and it ended up being a really weird thing to track down. And I wish I could remember the specific case. I guess I'm trying to think of a good way to change this message. That's probably the right thing to do.
I mean, I think on some level, like, the underlying problem here isn't going to be solved until people have, some kind of linting that tells them about this kind of, about an unused assignment. We kind of have two paths for doing that. One of them would be to work more on PonyCC and evolve a linting tool out of that. Another option, which would be closer at hand, easier within, basically more within grasp for us at this point, would be to introduce the Pony concept of warnings and then have a flag that you can pass to PonyC in which it would treat warnings as errors if you wanted to opt into that behavior. And I guess the only, we would want to be like, warnings are pretty controversial, I think, historically among the Pony team.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, if it's important enough to be a mandatory warning, then why isn't it a compile error? But I think this kind of case is exactly like where you still want to be able to compile it while you're working on something, but you want to be able to opt into making it a mandatory error. I think this kind of case might be a good example of where that's appropriate.
But I guess that gets down to like a question, a difference between like a source error and like, because this is, as opposed to like a compiler error, like when some other language tells you, oh, you're doing an unsafe conversion or something like that. This is just, oh, you have an unused variable. That feels like a different class. Like we should distinguish between classes of warnings there.
Sorry, what was the other class of warning that you were talking
about? Well, there would be the class of warning that's like an unused variable where there's no, like, it's not really a functional problem. It's that you have, it's basically a problem with your, with the code that you have written, but like it's not going to, it wouldn't necessarily generate a problem in later generated code. Whereas a warning, this is different, I guess, than warnings in other languages, which I think are the ones that the Pony team doesn't like, which are the ones that are like, oh, warning, you've done an unsafe type conversion here, because that's unsafe and that should be an error. So I guess what I'm saying is I feel like there's two different kinds of warnings, and I don't know if it's necessarily that everybody universally dislikes the idea of warnings in Pony so much as everybody dislikes the idea of warnings about things that are actually bad and errors.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a different category of thing. But I don't know. I don't necessarily want to get bogged down in solving it. Like,
how do you feel about the idea of adding a warning for unused assignments that would always show the warning when you compiled? But if you do like it's, dash dash W, the equivalent of W error, right, on C++ or C.
I'd want to see, I'd want to see a few more places where we could get some use out of that. I don't quite feel like this would justify that.
Okay.
I mean, and again, yeah, I don't know. This doesn't feel like quite a big enough thing to specifically add that. Because then you open up a whole can of worms of like people wanting to add other things to that. And yeah, I'd rather not do it unless we have some really compelling use cases for it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I might poke around and see if I can find some other cases where this kind of thing has come up and see. I mean, we want to have a clear guideline around like what constitutes a true compiler warning. Like I definitely don't want to get to the point where people are like, oh, you have you're not following this specific style guide, so that's a warning, or you know, get into the territory where like it has to be things that could truly result in bugs, right?
Yeah.
Which I think that I've been sort of convinced that this issue ticket is something that could cause a bug for somebody. On the same level as like shadowing that, you know, Pony takes a pretty hard stance on.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Well, it still feels like a little less of an issue, but I see what you're getting at. I'm just going to try real quick and see what happens if you like do two variable creations in a row, like var x equals var y equals one. Do you know what happens with that? Like what the error message looks like there?
I don't know I don't know offhand what it looks like. I imagine it's similar to this. The left side is undefined, but its value is used. I imagine you'd see that same message.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to figure out like what would it be pointing to, and like would it be useful to figure it out? Like at what level is this error message confusing? The left side is undefined, but its value is used. Left side must be something that can be assigned to. Yeah, just looking at this in the playground real quick. I mean, maybe part of the confusion of this is that, so if you do var x equals var y equals one, it puts the arrow under the y and then under the equal sign that comes after the y, which is, I think maybe that's part of the confusion, and that it's not telling you that you're, like looking at this again, it's not quite clear that the problem is the thing coming out of the y. It makes it look like you're trying to do something when you assign to y, but it's actually something that's being done with the, that you're trying to do with the result of y. So again, I feel like this error message can somehow be cleaned up and made clearer.
Yeah, I think it definitely can. I would probably see both as, you know, I think I would see both as valuable, right? Because cleaning up this error message to make more sense is one thing, and then also unused unused assignments is kind of a separate topic, but also just sort of tied up in this.
Yeah.
I would probably do both.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess the separate assignment thing though would, yeah. Basically, there are two different issues here.
Yeah.
And so. Let me come back and look at this real quick.
Method only. So that second error that you see, left side must be something that can be assigned to. I'm pretty sure that's not actually supposed to be there. That error doesn't make much sense, and I think it's just there as an artifact of how the compiler is implemented for that.
Yeah.
So that second error should probably be removed, and the first error should just get a little bit more clarity on, you know, just saying, remember that assignments use the left side as the value of the expression, or something along those lines.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll leave a comment on this, and we can, I guess we can decide if we want to split out another issue that says, hey, we should at some point add something that checks for unused variables. Yeah. I feel like the problem with this issue specifically is that it, or the confusing thing about the issue is that it jumps from confusing error message to when method only includes variable declarations, where really it's a confusing error message when you have a destructive read as part of variable creation.
Yeah. So, okay. And ultimately the other one should be an RFC.
That's roughly true.
I think I'll probably try to add at least a stub for the RFC candidate, like as an issue ticket in RFC's repo. I'll probably try to do that right after this call. And then if you had a comment about the distinction there, that would be good.
Okay.
And I think other than that, we're at the end of the call.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. I will stop recording then.
Thanks, everyone.